everybody to sit down so you don't end up with all that clicking and clacking and the sitting down noises. You just don't want to be something, and it's just clack, 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 footsteps and everything.
Meaning that each set of eight verses starts with the letter If you remember, originally written in English, each line of the first eight verses would start with letter A. And many times this was done to help believers put to memory God's word, so that throughout the day they could meditate on His word. They could learn from it. They could gain wisdom from it. So much of Solomon's testament is put God's word to memory. This psalm highlights the need to delight in God's word, to treasure His word like nothing else. The psalmist too greatly delights in the word of God, and this helps us understand that God's word is truly a necessity for the follower of Christ. Dr. Woodruff says this about the psalmist in this, who writes this passage. The psalmist was persecuted by men of rank and authority, who ridiculed his beliefs, seeking to put him to shame and make him give up his faith. But he strengthened himself by meditating on the word of the Lord, which to him was his comfort, his prized possession, his rule of life, and his resource of strength, all of which drove him to desire it even more. So as we journey through Saul, we're going to see many different terms and synonyms for that he uses here for reference for the word of God, such as instruction, or law, or word, or judgment, or ordinances, decrees, commands, statutes, precepts, promises, ways, testimonies. We know that God is the ultimate author of the Bible. We looked at this recently, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21, says that knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes in form of no interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Bible is God's word. It is truth without error. Truth for us to find life and hope and wisdom to live our lives by. The Bible points us to Christ because He is the living word of whom the written word speaks of. He's all throughout the Bible. Therefore, knowing what we know about God and His word, we should treasure His word like nothing else. This understanding should drive our desire to know His word more and more, to be in His word. And as we go through these controversies, may our understanding and our actions begin to line up with His truth. May we begin to treasure God's word like never before in our lives. The first thing we learn here is that I know God's blessing comes from wholehearted obedience to Him. I know God's blessing comes from wholehearted obedience to Him. Let's just say that.
His blessing comes from the wholehearted obedience to Him.
The blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimony, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. Now we may read these verses and we get fixated on the words blessed. I don't think anyone wants to turn down a blessing from the Lord. But spiritual blessings that come from God are different than what we think in our mind as far as material blessings from the world. God's blessings are of much more value. They have much more satisfaction. They are lasting, not temporary like the world. But these verses speak more to how we attain this blessing from God. He says there in verse 1 that the blameless are blessed. Now that speaks of someone who lives their lives above reproach, a person of integrity, not defiance. It is in no way that they talk of a person who is perfect. None of us will be perfect inside of heaven. In no way does it talk of it, but it describes a person who longs to grow in holiness, who longs for God's transformation in his life, who is quick to repent and turn away from sin. This is a child of God that walks in the law of the Lord, as he says in verse 1. They turn their focus to the Lord's instruction, and they're listening carefully to what God is saying. Because they're thinking much, they're thinking hard on His word, and they're making steps to obey Him. Now this reminds me of a man in Psalm 1. Have you ever read the first Psalm, Psalm 1, of the man who was blessed because his delight was in the law of the Lord, and it says on his law he meditates day and night. This man lacked for nothing, because not only did he treasure God's word, he walked wholeheartedly in obedience to God's instruction, and this brought about immeasurable blessing in his life. Again, in verse 2, he talks about the blessing. Blessing is the person who keeps the Lord's testimony. Now, testimony, also known as God's decrees or his solemn charges for us, and then to keep his word means to obey him. The key to this whole solemn and common life there in verse 2. Right there in verse 2. It says, those who are blessed, they seek the Lord with their whole hearts. That talks to the person who seeks the Lord above everything else. This person understands that the knowledge of God is found in his testimony. Therefore, this person treasures God's word. He seeks after him all that he is. This is full-hearted devotion to God. I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this blessedness. He says, blessedness is ascribed to those who treasure up the testimonies of the Lord, in which is implied that they search the scriptures, that they come to an understanding of them, that they love them, and then that they continue to practice them. And then he says, we must first get before we can keep it. That's a lot like Jeremiah 29:13, doesn't it? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Also reminds me of what Jesus said in the most important. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Now, Romans 37. What does this mean for us? You see, when we see God with our whole heart, we won't go our own way. As it says in verse 3. We don't decide that we know best how to live our lives. We don't decide that we know best how to live our lives or live by our terms that we think are okay for following Christ. There in verse 3, he says, this person who is blessed walks in God's ways. We walk in God's ways. We stay close to the Lord. We learn from him. We surrender to his leading every day. We allow him to change the nature of our hearts. We allow him to guide our thoughts, to influence our character and our actions. We walk close to the Lord so that his ways may become our ways. And therefore, he changes our habits, our direction, our pursuits, lines them up according to his plans because they are best. His ways are best. And he brings about blessing to that in our lives. How beautiful it is to see a child of God reflect the glory of God. To live by God's ways in order to reflect this powerful gospel message that we share with others. So that when we share with someone about who Christ is and what he's done and what he can do in someone's life as far as forgiveness of sin, eternal life, power, joy, peace, hope, it's reflected in our lives. He's changed the nature. We're walking, he's changed the nature of our hearts. We're walking in his ways and it lines up with what we speak about Christ. I would think that because God gives us blessing through obedience to his word, wholehearted obedience that everyone wants. Right? Oh, this is the way. Okay, this is how I see God. Okay, then I'm going to walk in his way. But then we have the flesh. Our own human desire to be self-focused, to be king of our own lives, to be the captain of our own ship. And for many, it may be that we never tasted this kind of life, this blessed life given to us by God, like we see in Psalm 1. Maybe you've heard. Maybe you're a person who's heard about it. You've heard others talk about it. The extraordinary peace, the inexpressible joy, right, that we have in Christ, the power of anxiety, heart from our flesh. The blessing of God's presence with us always. You know, those wonderful privileges that we talked about in Christ. We talked about it last week. Maybe it's that person has never truly sought the Lord wholeheartedly. Maybe we never fully surrendered to walk in his ways. Maybe we're not spending good time in his word getting to know God, allowing his spirit to change us. Maybe we're you can't imagine how much that person is missing out on. Which leads to the next truth we learn here. I know I should live my life according to God's word. I know I should live my life according to God's word. If for some reason you did not know that, you know it now. I know I should live my life according to God. This is where You have commanded your precepts to be kept doing them. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. As we see here and know from God's word, he's not giving us a book full of suggestions and considerations. You can't open the Bible and turn to verse 2 considerations. It's not there. You're not going to find a book of suggestions in the Bible. His word is a divine order to us from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, from our Almighty Sovereign Creator. And he demands our obedience. And why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? We who are created beings, who are we? To argue with the all-knowing, eternal God, the one who created us and gave us life. He commands that his instruction be kept diligent. We are commanded to obey God's word fully and completely. Because we know partial obedience is really complete disobedience. That's what he says in James 2:10. He says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all. God expects obedience. In fact, our love for God demands. 1 John 5:3 states this, so this is the love of God that keeps his commandments, but I love the last one. And his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments aren't burdensome. Remember that in Christ, remember from last week, in Christ there is now no condemnation on you. Remember that in Christ you have been dwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and now you have the power you need to walk in his ways, the way he is. And remember that even in Christ we will sometimes make mistakes. And when we sin, through repentance, God's grace is sufficient. His grace is always sufficient for us. This talks of someone who loves God and loves his word, knows that God's way is best and is always true. It also brings to mind to me a very simple story in Matthew 7:24-27. Story of God called the wise and foolish children. Maybe he's a child and sings a song about the wise and foolish children. You know, Jesus makes it very clear in his story. And he's using this story as a conclusion to all he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. So he's closing it with this last story. I mean, he's basically saying, hey, this is what the law means, this is true, this is how you live your life, and hey, I'm going to finish it with this story. I'm going to sum it all up. And he says, you know, anyone who hears my words and obeys me is like a wise man. And anyone who hears my words and disobeys me is like a foolish man. The man who obeyed was blessed with strength to handle those storms of life. And the foolish man's life is nothing but chaos and loss. Because he chose only to hear the word of God, never put it into practice. Knowing God's desire for us and obeying his word, the psalmist here, look at this psalm. Look at the thing about the Psalms. He thinks about his own life. Just as we should. As we read this, he thinks about his own life. We see here that the psalmist truly desires that his own way of life would be out of wholehearted obedience to God. He says, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. He just imagines that. Oh, Lord, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, your instruction. See, he knows that he should evaluate his life according to God's word, not some standard found in the world. Not some standard based on how someone else is living their life around him, but according to God's word. This is our instruction for life. This is our roadmap. The psalmist knows that he wants his life to line up with God's way, so he wants to be committed in his obedience. Meaning he's going to be diligent. He's going to be disciplined. He's going to be consistent. And as we see here in verse 6, he knows that if his mind's focus is on God's word and his heart's desire to be steadfast in his obedience to God, if he does that, he will be blessed. Do you see the blessing here in verse 6? Look at verse 6. Do you see the blessing there? He says, then I shall not be put to shame. Then I shall not be put to shame. Sin always brings with it shame every time. And he knows that if his lifestyle matches He will not battle with feelings of shame and guilt. This speaks of a person that faithfully walks closely with the Lord. He learns from the Lord, he obeys instruction. A person who deals with sin head on by acknowledging what sin really is. Having true repentance in the heart, turning away from that, truly turning away from that sin and asking God's forgiveness. And then, not relying on his own strength to get better, but relying on God's power to change the nature of his heart. This is what he's speaking of here. This is what the psalmist wants to be. The psalmist will have victory and freedom over the flesh because his eyes are fixed on God's word, and he's dependent on God's power and his faithful obedience. Notice in verse 6 there that it says his eyes are fixed on all of God's commandments. His eyes are fixed on all of God's commandments. That means that he's not picking and choosing which part of God's word he likes or dislikes. We'd love to do that, right? This part really he's not picking and choosing which part that he wants to obey. He's fixated on all of God's commands. He's saying, I'm not going to live as though I'm a part-time Christian. I will strive not to be hypocritical in the way I live my life. He was committed to God and all of his word because he treasured God's word. He knew that all of God's word was greatly beneficial for his life. From the very beginning of Genesis to Revelation, every bit of his word, and he wants to use it for your life. It's beneficial for your life today. Not just back then, today. There are principles and truths God gives us through the stories and his commands that offer us today that apply to our lives. Which leads us to the final point here. I will commit to learn from God and keep his word. I love it. I put these in statements because I want us to say these. I want us to act in voices. I will commit to learn from God and keep his word. Look there, verse 17. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteousness. I will keep your statutes. You know how other people are saying? The psalmist knows that he should seek the Lord with his whole heart. Know that God desires his word to be obeyed. He's now making a commitment unto the Lord by saying, I will. I will. He wants to truly treasure the word of God. He wants to be the man that he sees in Psalm 1 who treasures God's word above everything else and fully obeying him. But, because before he's able to praise God with an upright heart, before he's able to obey his word, he must first I mean, can we obey something that we do not know about? Have you ever thought about it? Why do we spend much time in the Word of God? God, I want to obey. Do you know what He wants you to obey? Do you know what His way of life is? Do you know His principles of truth? Do you know His promises? How can you obey something you don't know about? Therefore, we must learn His words He talks about in verse 7. You see, as a follower of Christ, just as Jesus' first disciple, we must sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. Every child of God is a student of the Bible, always having the desire to learn more from his word, learn more about God, his ways, his plans, his mission. In fact, we could study every single day, all day long, for the rest of our lives and not fully learn at all. The psalmist knows that as he studies and learns God's righteous judgments, as he learns his instruction, as he learns his testimonies, that this is going to result in the praise of God. God's word brings about a greater understanding of God and all that he is, all of his plans and purposes. His word brings about a greater awe and a greater reverence of who he is as Almighty God, who by his grace and love came to the so as we read his word, he brings about praise. This is, we read a psalm this morning. Psalm 100. We want to praise him. We want to thank him for what he's done in our lives. But he's also making a commitment to obey his word. Because he knows that true praise somehow missing out on something in the world. Remember the wise fool's building? His life is chaos. Look around you. Look around you in this world. For those who are following after every material possession and every philosophy the world gives. Is their life full of blessing and joy and peace and hope, or is it filled with chaos and hurt and pain and struggle? If we look closely, it's not hard to see. It's not hard to see what a blessing it is to walk in the ways of God. For we know from 1 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those. And we know the love God has given me. Obedience to God's word leads us into worship you cannot imagine. It leads us through open doors that you never thought were possible. It leads us to be used in ways that you never dreamed of. It leads us into greater joy and peace and purpose and an everlasting impact. We can only imagine what might come about through one step of obedience. Just one. I remember disobeying the Lord, struggling, making excuses about how the Lord had the wrong person. And he had this wrong about calling me to ministry, calling me to ministry. And he had to really get my attention and wake me up. Through that one simple obedience, I never imagined in all my wildest dreams that God would do it again. Never thought it possible. It never even entered in my mind. No eye has seen, no ear heard. I never imagined. And you might be in that place. And you can't imagine what one step of obedience to God's word will open up for you. What door will be open? What new direction in your life? What peace? What joy? What hope? What purpose? What everlasting impact you may make on someone? James 1:25 reminds us of who it is that is blessed by God. He says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The psalmist knows, as we do today, that we are not there yet. We're not there yet. We have not attained to the full knowledge of God, God's word. We've not attained the praise that God deserves. We've not attained the wholeness that we should be displayed in our lives. But the psalmist is going to press forward. He's going to reach towards this goal of learning God's word more fully. He's going to reach towards this goal of obeying his instruction and praising him with an upright heart. Paul states something similar in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 14 about his commitment to obey God in your holiness. Listen to what Paul says. This is Paul. Not that I have already attained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul did not allow his past to hold him back. No more. He had a past. He had a past. Full of sin, persecuted Christians, self-consciousness, pride. It was all there. He didn't let his past hold him back. He didn't even allow his own sinful nature to hold him down. Remember, he said, I'm chief of sinners. See, he knew his today, and in God's power, through his word, we're able to press on toward this goal of righteousness, this goal of having an upright heart, of living a lifestyle in God's ways that glorifies him. See, praise naturally comes from an upright heart. The psalmist knows as we do today that striving after obedience is worthless without God's power and presence. That's all. That's what he's saying there. The Lord will forsake me. Please go save me. He knew that all would be lost. Obeying his word would be impossible. Giving him praise from an upright heart would never, ever, ever happen. He says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Always means always. I am with you always to the end of the age. Romans 8:1, we looked at last week. There is now no condemnation of him and those who are in Christ Jesus. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8. I love this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Who's empowering that? It's all about God giving you all you need in every good work. All grace, all sufficiency, at all times, and in every way, God gives you what you need to abound in every good work. God is the only one who can bring about this transformation in your life. Yet we see here in Psalm 119 that we must treasure the Word of God. We must seek Him with our whole heart. We must learn from His Word, showing Him that we truly love Him. We must obey Him. We must press on. Only then we enjoy the spiritual blessings that come from obedience to His Word. We can be like that man in Psalm 1. Verse 3, listen to what his life is like. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. In all he does, he prospers. As the worship team comes, ask yourself, do I truly treasure the Word of God? Do I understand how important His Word is for my life and the life of my family? You see, we know that God desires all of our obedience for us. And He is the one who empowers us and sends all the grace that is needed. Are we willing to say, I will commit to learn from you, from your Word. I will commit to learn from you. I will commit to